Hey fellas, digging into the vault, I just found this episode, which we hadn't released. It's going to be season one, episode 16. We had titled it at the time Location, Location, Location. I don't know if you remember anything about it.
Not a
Do you
sing,
remember?
not a, I don't remember
Wait,
anything.
are we AI right now or are we ourselves?
No, you're you this
We're
time.
real? I don't remember anything about it either.
Okay. Well, I did record it with your meatbag counterparts and not
Oh.
your AI counterparts. So
Okay.
I
So
do
we were
remember
there.
that for sure, I think.
Was it
Like
cute?
82% sure that you were there for this one. But
Okay.
regardless, it looks like it went a little longer than our tight 30. It looks like it's 44 minutes.
We better
So
get listening.
we should just dive right into this sucker. I think it was a really good episode. Again, don't remember much about it because it was so long ago,
Hey,
but
Brian, listen to
I think
this.
people.
That was me blowing the dust off of this episode.
Oh! And that had to be real because I've never heard AI fake a breath. So I
Yeah,
think
they
you're
don't
real.
even know
That's
how to
a
pretend to
real
do that.
Jeff.
It's like trying to
Amazing.
draw numbers. Can't do it.
Amazing. All
Oh.
right, fellas, let's kick off location, location, location right now.
I'm in.
I didn't need to say anything. Anyway, now you went
Yeah,
and read.
right
Django.
now.
Okay,
Django, that's
now.
a different podcast where you're
Oh
just
God,
nothing
you
but
guys are
work to
just
be around
talking
that.
over each
Okay.
other
So is
so
this
well.
all right? I'm ready to listen if you guys are.
Data Bros begins now.
Coming to you from top secret field offices worldwide. These brave men and women fight a battle for truth, justice, and good, clean data. These agents of change make up the Bureau of Records, Objects, and Standards. They are the Data Bros.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. That's right, from deep within the bowels of the Pleasure Dome, the Data Bros themselves at the decree of Kublai Khan are here for your weekly 30-minute appointment. That's right, the Data Bro with the Data Bros to talk about the comics industry, comic book data, and what goes into running a modern comic book store. This week, I am your host, Jeff, as opposed to being several other identities I shuffle around in my back pockets, and with me, as always, are Django.
I'm Django.
And Manage Comics itself's Brian Garside.
Oh, we don't have to introduce me that way, do we? All right,
I
fine.
mean, we don't usually, but I
Hey,
wanted to.
London, Ontario's
Hey,
own Brian
London,
Garside.
Ontario, hailing from London, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah,
Oh,
and all of those words from my intro are, lyrics from Rush's Xanadu, Canada's biggest band.
God, you have been on a Rush
Get
kick for
off.
like 3 or 4 weeks now,
Rush
man.
and Dining on Honeydew, yeah.
Man, that's
Babo
wild.
O'Reilly is definitely their best song.
Oh,
Isn't that that's a
the Who?
great number. This week, we are here to talk about three very important things: location, location, and location.
Those are so good.
Yes, where do you put your secret headquarters?
Well, I gotta keep it a secret,
No,
bud.
you can't.
The Pleasure Dome.
Xanadu. Hey, let's hear a little shout out to our good sponsors at
Oh
Murphy's
yeah, Apple Juice,
have
Jeff.
we vamped enough? Okay, cool.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
have. Yeah, that's good
Well, I want to
what
give a
are you
shout
talking
out.
about?
I want to give a shout out to Murphy's Apple Juice. Again, one of the all-time great producers of sunshine in a bottle. I do want to apologize for referring to some of the emails I get from them as liquor infused. It was more of like a spicy way of addressing the tone of the emails and the fact that many of the people in charge of Murphy's are a alcoholics. But I wanted to mention,
This is
what's that?
worse. This is worse. It's
No, no,
getting
no, no,
worse
no,
every
no.
week. It's
It's
getting
all apple juice, baby.
so I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned that we haven't been getting like we've been getting prepared statements that I've had to read the last
I've been
couple
getting
weeks.
care
So
packages. Did you
ah,
get
sounds like
the freeze-dried Murphy's apple crisps? You didn't get the okay.
that stuff doesn't get past the border because
Oh
you're right. Oh,
right.
yeah. Yeah,
Okay,
the
that's why I've been getting
Murphy's
certain
wake-up call.
packages
It's
labeled
the
with your
Murphy
name on it.
Lombardo. Hopefully,
Anyway.
Django, you can bring me some of that sweet Murphy swag when I see you
Oh
in
yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, I'll bring you some crisps. They're not going to be very crisp in a couple weeks, but
I won't be in Chicago with you guys because I'll be preparing for a concert at the Shakedown. I'll be playing on May 9th in Bellingham for anybody who wants to join.
You're playing a concert?
I am.
Yeah, dude. He's a musician too. He's not just a he's not just a Rush fan in a sports jersey.
I thought he just like had 17 guitars for the looks, for the aesthetics.
Yeah. Well, they do that too. Just a reminder to everybody, Murphy's apple juice. It's the shape, not the taste. But also, it's the taste, which is pretty dang good.
Man, you should do that for a living.
You really should.
Thank you. So this episode, we're going to delve into the crucial factors to consider when scouting for a location,
understanding
the financial aspects of leasing that location, and recognizing the signs that it's time to relocate. By featuring expert advice from industry veterans, real estate professionals, and successful...
We're just going to make all this up.
Listeners will gain a comprehensive understanding of
Did AI help us write that or what?
Oh, crap, man. All right. Sorry, there's a script. So wait, none of the guests that are crucial insiders are actually coming
for
this?
We're not going to have any crucial guests.
Oh. Okay, well, one time Django and I moved locations. One time Django and I moved from a store to a new store.
I'm gonna leave this in just for fun so the readers can see how everything is built. Just get in the nooks and crannies. But when I write the summaries, maybe we should look at them.
this is how Terminator happens, Brian.
I don't like scripts because I don't know when I'm supposed to follow them or not. That's why I'm a jazz musician by trade. We're going to be following the normal routes of conversation this week, everybody. But, Brian, location, location, location. Move on in, baby.
You want me to jump in and talk about the data broification of everything? Listen, so every week we break our topics down into three segments: data broification, which is the underlying data.
Oh, I said all that, the normal route.
Okay. Industry Yammer and Shop Talk. All right. So yeah, let's kick it off. Let's talk
about...
You've
had stores moving, other stores moving in the comic book industry.
Yeah, so, I don't want to brag, but we hit 180 stores recently. And I've seen probably at least a dozen stores this year move locations, some of them kind of big locations, some of them small locations. We saw it kind of at the beginning of the year, there was a big shakeout. A couple long-term stores, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, closed or moved down. One of them, I think it's Heroes in Fresno, California. He got out of it because their location was about to increase by 7 times. Their rent was going to go up sevenfold. So he sold, that was Dave Alred, he sold the company to a new gentleman who moved down the street and opened up a new location, and they're called Secret Identity Comics now.
That's a good name.
Again, in Fresno, California. But we saw a lot of that kind of stuff in California. I think pretty much every one of my California stores, with a couple of exceptions, moved somewhere in the new year.
And Joe Field store, Flying Colors, is on the precipice of moving, I think.
They're in California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a massive kind of upheaval in California because rent has just skyrocketed out of control. And one of the things you can do, obviously, when you're moving into a new location, especially, you know, you look around and you see the places that are empty and that have been empty for a long time. And there may be an opportunity there to get some deals and stuff with your rent. So yeah, we've seen that. And here in London, one of our local shops, actually the biggest shop, Heroes Cards and Comics, which is the second comic store I ever worked at, and I helped open it in 1991.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're a huge place. They've got probably 4,000 square feet. So next door to them was a building that has been under renovation for what seems like 10 years, and it's finally kind of ready to go. And so they've just subleased it for a few months to do a warehouse sale next door. So they've opened up Villains, which starts nice. This Friday, next door to Heroes.
That's pretty cool.
They're only going to be open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays now. But during the summer, it's a lot. Like, there's a lot of traffic in our downtown, and there's a lot of comic-focused things between May through, like, June, July kind of period. So I think that's when they're going to be down there. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. So looking at that stuff, I just wanted to talk to you guys because you have a lot of experience in, have moved the comics place from when you first took it over, right?
Jeff has moved two times with the comics place.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've moved two times and then opened up a satellite location one time.
Yeah.
So you guys have a lot of this kind of knowledge of what goes into a successful location move. Well, so assuming that your current location is successful, which I
think it is. It's alive.
Something that comes to mind for me is, and it varies for, you know, stores and locations, but how tied in to your store's identity is the location that it's currently in. Sure. Because thinking about the physical layout inside of a store and where it is in a town, is a lot of the familiarity that people form with that store. Memories are housed in locations. Mm-hmm. So it is a much bigger deal in my mind than simply just the location that your store is in. It is so much of the gift that is the present of a comic shop. You know, it's the wrapping and everything. So, please.
It's interesting you say that because, like, in my city, London, Ontario, about 500,000 people. So it's not a tiny city. It's not a huge megalopolis. But until relatively recently, there were two comic stores within three blocks of each other. And previously there were 4 comic stores all within, I would say, like, we'll use your term, a mile of each other. Two of them were literally within two blocks of each other. The other two were within two blocks of each other. And then there was like a mile between the four of them. Now there's only two major stores in the city. One of them, they used to both be within two blocks of each other. One of them moved across the city into, I think I've talked about this before. It's an old, cereal factory called Kellogg's here in town. And this really cool forward looking company moved in there and they built like a trampoline park. And then they've built like this really neat space that's got a couple of distilleries, a couple of breweries. Cool. It's got a fancy haircutting place that I take my son to occasionally. There's a Starbucks on the second floor. And Gord and Carol moved into the first floor they moved their store LA Mood there. I've talked to them a few times and they've said that so first of all, there's parking for the first, because our downtown doesn't really have parking, but there's parking literally like 20 feet from their front door.
Right.
And ton of full parking, like tons.
And that changed things for them?
Well, there's that. And then there's office space in this building. And so they get foot traffic during the weekdays from people just wandering down from their offices.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, this location does like a Christmas market for 2 weeks. And they do a spring market and a summer market. And when those things happen, they start to get this weird foot traffic from those things. And Gord was saying that during the Christmas season, their worst day is better than their best day ever was downtown.
Yeah.
So it's things that, right? Like,
it depends a lot. So when we moved three blocks up the street, the same street, the last time we moved from a little place that was about half the size of what we have right now. And we were worried about that move. But we did it and saw instant better foot traffic.
Wow.
It was a leap of faith to move over there, but it worked out really well. And a couple of years later, we decided to move to open a satellite store in another area of town. And we found a great deal on rent. It's in this quirky little alleyway down some stairs, and nobody ever found us because we were in this quirky little alleyway down the stairs, even though we were across from a fairly busy nerd bar, like a place that had board games and stuff.
Cards,
like,
and beer, and yeah.
Yeah. I think that if we had moved that store into a spot that was on the sidewalk in that neighborhood, we probably would still have it open, and it would be a major part of our business. But because of the location, it didn't work out at all.
It's so interesting to me because the comics place that was open for 35 years or so was in the same location, and that's where I started, and it was in a small art studio on the second floor of like a shared art studio building. Tiny, not enough space to do much with at all, very little graphic novel space there at all. And I'm astounded by how many people still to this day come in and talk so highly about their memories of that location.
Mm-hmm.
35 years in this spot that I would say objectively on every level is a worse retail space than what we've got right now.
Probably couldn't have supported one more employee.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No matter how you were kind of at the maximum number of sales, is never going to support the amount of people that it needs to have in there to handle it.
Which I bring up to mention just that, like, the consumer customer perspective of a location and the people running a business in that location can vary drastically.
Yeah.
And sort of what it means. And, you know, you can have a bad location and create a spot that people love, and you can have a great location that doesn't cater the way that you want it to. Again, we've got a lot of like rent stuff to break down, but I think about a lot of this stuff in more like theoretical value senses.
Well, like the perception of your location is important too, right? When we made that move three blocks up the street, the first thing everybody told us was how horrible our parking was.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, it's three blocks from the other one.
Yeah.
Like the parking's the same. Yeah. It's the same, man.
I get it, though. There's a large difference in this city between one block and three blocks, especially like the two of those blocks are super sketchy.
They weren't
super.
They weren't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There is a big chunk of perception there. And I think, you know, when you break it right down to the nuts and bolts of how do you make the most money with a business like a robot? Sure. Location is super important. And I think in my mind, and I heard somebody reference this as something that Phil Boyle says too. I've always thought like, yeah, you can get a location without as much foot traffic, but you need to take that money that you've saved and advertise with it.
Yeah.
So it's not really a savings. It's just a reallocation of your funds.
Yeah. And I think I think I heard Phil saying that he considers location and marketing expense.
Yeah.
Like to a certain degree.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys want to break down some of the other expenses associated with finding a good place?
Well, we could maybe even talk just like some of these numbers. When I first started learning about this part, like I didn't know the difference between net and gross and like that, right?
Well,
like,
gross is a dozen dozens.
144.
Yeah.
Too gross, that's how many whoopee cushions you give out on April Fool's Day. That's 288.
So net rent, I believe, is the base rent with additional costs, including taxes, maintenance, and insurance.
Yeah.
No, that's plus.
That's net, triple net.
Okay, I was just going to ask about triple net related to
that.
Yeah,
so a gross lease is your rent's $2,000. Right.
And that's everything.
That's too cheap. Your rent's $5,000. That's
insurance. Everything.
You give me $2,000. Everything else is up to me to deal with.
Okay.
The more common kind of commercial rent, I think, is triple net, where you're paying for their taxes, their maintenance, and you get a lower rent charge. Your rent is $3,000, and you can expect to pay around $2,000 a month for triple net.
Okay.
Django, I mean, you should run down all of these expenses because I bet you know twice as much about them as Brian and I combined.
Oh my God, I don't know anything about it.
You've been That's not what I'm saying at all. Django moves businesses like a man who's horny. That's all I had. That's just where it ended.
And to be totally transparent, I have only ever rented, like, I'm giving you $1,500 a month and I'll pay also for internet. That's
like the ideal situation, right? Because then you're not having to guess what your triple net's going to be. And unfortunately, in all the places I've ever been, I think except one, and maybe for the first 3 years of our current location, it's been a triple net situation and you don't have any control over that. So they can just kind of say, oh yeah, our taxes went up, and they have to give you some reconciliation at the end of the year, but who knows? Like, I'm not going to go look up what they paid for their maintenance guy to sweep the front entryway every day.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, the third N in the triple net, the NNN, is like the community area maintenance. And I just learned this on Facebook from some other retailers the other day. And if you're not careful with your triple net negotiations, they can just kind of plug any number they want in there into that community access area maintenance. So, you know, if we ever renegotiate a lease, I'm going to make sure that we have in there that there's a cap to what you can charge us for that part.
So what are the three holy trinity of the three nets?
I don't actually know what they are. I asked somebody one day, and let's see. I just Googled it. No, not yikes.
Taxes, maintenance, and insurance is what we have. But I've always thought insurance was, like, for me, I've paid insurance on every location ever because you have to have.
This is building insurance. So the building. So it basically just covers the building owner's expenses.
But you're still responsible for
a percentage based on your square footage,
right? And then you also need PPL, like. Personal property liability and theft and all of that nonsense.
Cool. You're just paying their bills and they're charging you per square foot based on the rest of the building. And we're in a weird spot in our space because we're in like a 5 or 6 story building and the third floor is totally uninhabited. And I've never really been clear about whether we're paying like a percentage higher because the third floor doesn't have anybody on it anymore. You know, the other thing that you want to watch out for when you're doing a new lease is decide how long you want to have it.
Right.
So, in general, a landlord is going to want to see a longer lease, because that means, you know, a month with nobody paying rent sucks.
Right.
6 months with nobody paying rent sucks way worse. So,
and the more that they're going to do for the space, the longer they're going to expect a lease. The more
they're going to improve the space, or if you want to ask them for other concessions, you know, like, hey, we have this weird deal we want to work out. Can you do this? They might be more apt to do that if they're going to do a longer lease with you. Okay. You know, there's all kinds of trickery that you can do. I heard about somebody being like, oh yeah, well, I made sure that in my lease, I stated explicitly that if the neighbor moves, I get the first crack at that space, right? So I could expand my business. There's also some weird stuff with like HVAC. So if you are like the first draft you'll probably get of the lease from your landlord is going to say that you're responsible for the heating and cooling equipment. And that can be $20,000 in the right building. And so you want to make sure that you're responsible for maintenance, but you're not responsible for replacing or repairs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And of course, there's always going to be like unexpected costs associated with any place, whether it's, you know, the ceilings leak and damage your comics and they're not going to pay appropriately for the comics that have been damaged, or water starts gushing out of the light switch, or even like additional unexpected costs. Like Jane and I were talking to a store in the state that has a location in a mall, but part of that lease is that the mall can force them to move anytime mm-hmm. they need to a different location in the mall, which is a huge unexpected cost so to the idea of setting up a location in a mall. So, you know, making sure you have autonomy and control, you know, of boundaries is a yeah. pretty important one as well. Django, what are some other unexpected costs?
That one's funny because we actually had a mall location when I worked at the comic shop. And part of the lease was that every 5 years we would be forced to move because
wow.
they're trying to make the mall look like it's a dynamic space that's constantly changing, right? So that was back in like the late 80s, early 90s.
I could get on board on a schedule, but yeah. just willy nilly. Like
yeah.
every time I talk to him about it, he just seems so defeated.
Yeah, yeah. for sure.
Yeah, they made us move again the third time in 9 months or whatever.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
You know, you're. Who knows what shape the building is actually in when you move in.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to, you know, have a conversation with your landlord about who takes care of this problem or who takes care of that problem.
And suddenly
who cleans the carpets?
Family of possums move into your third floor loft, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I dressed up in a stormtrooper outfit and chased down a bat with one of our employees' husband the other day. Like, yeah. you know, that's not probably a thing I should have done. We
and
probably
then
should have hired somebody
to sign
do that.
Up on the door to that room that said careful bat inside for days afterwards.
Yeah, it was kind of cute.
Yeah, it was also scary for those of us not there the bat day, because I don't know if you ever got the bat out.
Well, I think somebody moved it right next to the door and it doesn't make any sense now.
I worked in a 100-year-old building and we had bats all the time. We actually had a team called the Batmen. Who would go on?
Oh, nice.
Take care of the
bats. All wore
yeah.
stormtrooper outfits. And then one of the things that, you know, again, in the way that I go about life all the time is try to form positive relationships, like healthy, positive relationships with the people
sure.
that you're doing business with that are in control mm-hmm. of these leases or that own the building. You know, conduct yourself in a way that makes people want to help you or not take advantage of you, which is a perfect spot to put a pin in this for a moment. Because we're going to hand this one off to Murphy's Apple Juice. So stick around and we'll be right back.
We'll get you right back to the show after these important messages.
Today, Murphy's Apple Juice LLC, a leading producer of high-quality apple juice, is announcing that the company is currently undergoing changes in management due to internal restructuring. Despite these transitions, Murphy's Apple Juice assures its customers, partners, and stakeholders that the availability and delivery of its beloved apple juice products will remain unaffected. We understand the importance of continuity in delivering the premium quality our customers have come to expect from Murphy's Apple Juice. While we navigate this period of change, our commitment to maintaining the highest standards of product quality and service remains unwavering. Murphy's Apple Juice has been a trusted brand in households across the country, known for its dedication to crafting apple juice with the finest ingredients. We emphasize that the current internal changes are a step towards strengthening our operations and ensuring long-term success. Our team is fully equipped to manage this transition smoothly, and we have implemented measures to ensure that our production and delivery processes continue without interruption. Murphy's Apple Juice LLC remains focused on delivering excellence to our customers, and we look forward to continuing to serve our community with the same dedication and passion that has defined the brand for nearly 100 years. Murphy's Apple Juice, it's not the taste, it's the shape, but it's also the taste, which is pretty dang good.
Okay, let's get you back to the show now.
All right, buddies, now we're back to the show. Thanks, Murphs.
Murph!
Hey, Django, I've got a quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
So when I was looking for an office recently, they said it was $36 a square foot. It was 1,000 square feet. I mathed that out and I was like, with that $36,000, which is way more than I'm willing to pay.
Right. Per month.
I believe that was like over the course of a year. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So when you're looking at the square foot cost, there doesn't seem to be a standard. There's two standards, and you're either looking at the monthly per square foot cost or you're looking at the annual per square foot cost. And I don't know why different places do it differently. Like, I would just always go for the lower number, guys. Yeah. Give us the monthly square foot cost and maybe we'll be dumb enough to do it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. I will say that I was looking at an online conversation about rent the other day, and Joe Field from Flying Colors in California, he's the creator of Free Comic Book Day. He listed his per square foot cost, and it was like $5.89 or something is what it's going up to. And that's the area where, depending on where you, if you were in Mississippi and looking at that, that might be an annual cost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it becomes really kind of hard to suss out what you're actually talking about at some mm-hmm. point there.
All right, boys, it's time to get our thumbs in some sweet industry potato pie. What do you think?
Yammer. You want to
yammer?
Indiana. Indiana.
So when we're talking about your location,
we're going to look at a bunch of different kind of industry things, I guess. Like, you're going to look at your location and what other businesses are in here. Is that something you would look at? Is it, you know,
definitely.
I would. Yeah. I mean,
what makes a good comic shop location, would you say?
Well, so there's two ways to look at the word location, right? There's where it is on the map and there's what it's like inside. So when I think of the song location, 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 I'm thinking of where it is on the map. And so for me, from that perspective, I'm going to be curious about what businesses are around it. What is the neighborhood like? What is the front look like? What kind of signage opportunities do you have? You know,
restaurants nearby, beer drinking nearby are great advantages. You know,
if you're on a beer row, maybe you're staying open later to catch people two beers in and closing in time to get them to not have them when they're four beers in.
Next to a concert venue, because you know that there's going to be nightlife around there. So that's going to affect your hours that you're open.
Right. Our current location is pretty close to the farmers market. So on Saturdays, we get a pretty huge influx of people who are doing that kind of stuff. I for a comic store, how many windows in which direction do they face?
That's a great
one. Part of it, right? Because we don't want our stuff to get sun damaged too badly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want people to see inside and know that there's a good time to be had and they want to be in there. So Django, I have a question for you, because you're more aware of this than I am. Accessibility for a shop, and particularly accessibility inside of a shop. What sort of limitations does that present to you? What are you not allowed to do if you don't have accessibility for people who have limited mobility? Does that change what you're actually able to do from a pen and paper stance, or is it just in terms of like being able to appeal to everybody in more of a theoretical sense?
The last time I investigated this, the law was a little bit slushy, but the rule was that you have to have like accessibility ramps and access to everything that anybody else would who didn't need a wheelchair would use. If the construction didn't cause a quote unquote undue burden to the business. So in our location, we have a step up to get into the main store, but at some point in that building, somebody had built a ramp. Easy workaround. The ramp is wide enough that the guy that came in one day to try to catch us breaking ADA laws with his measuring tape couldn't find a problem with it. So dodged that bullet, took the railings down anyway, so that we would have an extra 4 inches there. Within the rest of the store, we make sure that we have, you know, 3 foot walkways or wheelways for everything. But then we also have our upstairs area that where we hosted games for a little while.
That's what I was curious about.
That is absolutely not accessible to people who have mobility issues. And because there's no reasonable way to get people up there, it was not an ADA issue, right? Okay. So then it's up to us to make sure that whatever we're offering up there isn't enough of a core part of our business that we are bummed out that, you know.
So there are aspects of what is your core business and making sure that your core business is able to be accessible to anybody.
Yeah.
And so you can stretch that a bit by loosening up the idea of what is core business. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the many things in co-owning a business with Django where I am like, I love having this guy around because he knows a lot more about this stuff than me.
I've messed them up over and over for your benefit.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Let's dive into some shop talk and
yeah.
let's get into the nitty gritty of your place. You know, what are you guys seeing in your, spoiler alert for those that don't know this. I know you guys have talked a little bit about some of the, let's call it, social issues going on in your area. And how did those affect you, and like what do you do to mitigate those, or what do you do?
That's a great question. So Bellingham,
elect a new mayor.
Bellingham, much like many other cities in this country right now, I'm curious how it is in Canada as well.
Same, exactly the same. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah,
everything you say is our downtown core right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there obviously you don't need me to tell you, but there is a pretty big drug epidemic happening right now, fentanyl. And then also the way that US laws, especially in Washington, are being regulated and upheld have created a disconnect with the police system's ability to deal with these crimes in public places.
I think you guys are also facing like a mental health epidemic that we're seeing, because they basically closed down all the asylums. And then fostered everything onto the healthcare system that is entirely unequipped to deal with that.
Reagan did that for us a long time ago.
So, you know, the way that that problem manifests is us hearing from customers they don't feel safe being downtown, or mentioning that their child doesn't like coming downtown for that reason. Obviously, you're going to be, you know, there is an incalculable effect of somebody passed out in front of your store, or the loading zone taken up by ambulances, or, you know, like that has a great effect on things. So, you know, that is really hard for a comic shop individually to be able to have a large change with, outside of being able to develop the right patter in your store to get the people who may or may not be causing a problem out of your store. Django is great at it. What's your line?
Hey, come back another day.
Yeah. That's so good. And he can lovingly get people out of the store. So again, the best way to combat that for a store for us is developing this, you know, the language to use when we see the signs that there's something happening inside of our store we don't love. You know, Bellingham also elected a new mayor. That's helping.
The new mayor has put a lot of resources towards having more patrols, not just with police, but with other services that can help people, and firefighters, just like a person with muscles in a uniform changes the block's mood quite a bit. We've always been pretty aggressive about calling 911. In Bellingham, there's not really a non-emergency number that matters that much, so they encourage you to call 911. And so we call 911 a lot, partly to take care of the problem potentially, but also just to show that that's an area that needs the help. So if somebody's looking at metrics on where to allocate their resources, they can see that they get a lot of calls from our area. So getting comfortable with that has been something that, you know, every employee needs to be encouraged to call 911 and get over that kind of resistance to that at our shop.
Have you guys seen like changes in your demographics, or maybe I'm just reading into it, but it feels to me like the area that you're in has kind of gone through a little bit of a slump. Have you seen changes, you know, like built synergistic businesses moving out, non-synergistic businesses moving in Canada, in Ontario specifically? We're seeing a ton of cannabis stores opening up that don't necessarily contribute to, you know, the element that you want next to a comic
selfish
store,
destination perhaps? Kind of.
You know, that particularly is a sort of separate and very interesting issue, right? With the legalization of marijuana, those are popping up all over. Bellingham has as many dispensaries as bars, I bet. And the adverse effect of that population group hasn't really been super demonstrated downtown or in Bellingham specifically. I would say, you know, JJ's, which is a mini mart that you can buy anything in at any hour of the day, probably has more unsavory attraction near our store than like a weed store would.
There was an article just today that one of our real estate friends sent us, Will Elmer, for listeners of any of our other podcasts. Bellingham's demand for retail space declines as vacancy rate increases over 3% since 2023. So, you know, more empty spaces downtown than there were before. I don't feel like we're seeing a lot of impact from that, but, you know, sometimes that stuff can be delayed.
I'm sweating it.
I mean, if there's a tremendous amount of vacancies, pretty low. If there's a tremendous amount of vacancies, you'd see people just wanting to rent out those spaces to like non-synergistic businesses, totally like office spaces and stuff. We're not seeing a ton of that. You know, as we get closer to our 30-minute tight mark, Django, the idea of moving a location, what are the good reasons to do it?
That's a great question.
Well, I would say just a general malaise with your current situation.
I think an addiction
to assembling IKEA shelves.
I mean, second one less. But I mean, I absolutely think an injection of novelty or newness or excitement into one's life is absolutely a justifiable reason to want to move locations. What are some other things?
Just expansion, right? Like I know that we are tight on space. And if we had the perfect opportunity come up and we could add three product lines, right? Like that could make a huge difference for our business.
Well, especially when we're talking last time about inflation and like this is an opportunity where you can offset some of that inflation by A, perhaps changing your rent terms and B, maybe increasing the product lines you can carry that maybe have a higher profit margin.
It's super unlikely that the place you're renting now is ever going to be cheaper for you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So you might be able to find another place,
but not for you.
Maybe, you know, it depends on how they're leveraged, how the landlord is leveraged with debt or whatever. But yeah, like, you know, I think like so many things that we look at, Jeff, my decision tree often comes down to, is this an opportunity or a trap? And boy, did I whiff that with Moonbase, right? Like being pretty sure it was an opportunity and not a trap. And it turned out it was a trap. I think if you can look at something and realize that you can make it work and that it's not, it is the right thing to do. I think you just kind of know.
Yeah. Right? I mean, like, space limitations, like you were just saying, is one thing, but also like a lot of times the systems that are happening within a comic shop are kind of stuck because of the geographic layout of the store. So there are things that we have talked about or wanted to change within our store, like how we display new issues, which is the thing that we've done. However, we don't quite have the geographic space to do that in the way that is perfect for us. Or we have these great drawers that are where a bunch of our back issues are stored, but they're like fixed to the wall. It's an amazing system, but once you build something like that, you are limited in the way that you can approach it or do it in your store. So when your need to iterate or change the systems within your store is not allowed because of the geographic limitations, that's a great instance of when considering moving a store is a viable thing. There are also lots of reasons that moving a store is a bad call. And maybe even the first one Django mentioned that I agree with is a argument for a bad call. Like novelty isn't always the right reason to move a store. Sometimes if you're languishing, there's something internally you got to figure out.
Every jumping on point is a jumping off point for somebody, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a fair amount of sort of like soul searching that needs to go on. And it puts me in a position of being very grateful that I run this business with a business partner, because if the decision to move or not move a location was something that was mine and mine alone, you know, it would be beholden to a lot of the shortcomings that I personally have. Right. So again, wonderful to be able to toss it between a couple people and make decisions.
You need a gas and a break.
You know what?
You need a gas and a break. Yeah.
That right there sounds like a perfect jumping off point for this episode.
Oh, well.
Look what he did there. John.
He's
getting us out of the soaking pool.
So good. Back on the dock, buddies. Back on the dock. Hey, listen, as we put a pin in this lovely little 30-minute session we've had where the three of us get to take our shirts, roll them up, and pat each other's bellies together, we want to hear from you in that belly patting session that we're going to be having. Next week, the week after, it's always a belly pad here at the Data Bros with my data brethren and myself. But we want to hear from you so you can be included in this. So you should write us an email or record a voice memo on your phone and email it.
Sure,
email is the main means, shouting back to our episode from 2 weeks ago. You can do that by sending your email message to podcast@databrosinc. databrosinc.com. The Data Bro Sync. Very, very important that if you're listening to this episode at this point, you know, episode 14 or whatever, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Data Bros Inc. on your favorite podcast app, or watch us online at YouTube. That's a joke. We're not on YouTube, but we will be one day, and you'll be
no,
like,
we are. We are. We're legit on YouTube.com/@Data Bros Inc. And it's just audio
gotten,
only.
I was going to say, I haven't gotten
concerns
from people about how much I vape yet. So you'll find the Data Bros and all of our projects at databroinc.com. You can also learn about the Comet Standard at cometstandard.com.
We should probably talk about the Comet Standard again at some point.
We should. Let's do another check-in on that. I feel like we should do a trimesters, right? Every 4 months or so.
Absolutely.
I am Jeff Figley. You can get me on Venmo at Jeff-Figley. I also magically appeared on Facebook as Jeffrey Figley.
I'm Django, and you can get me on the internet. I'm the only Django born out there, probably. And you can find the point of sale system Jeff and I do at comicshopassistant.com. And you can check out our comic store at thecomicsplace.com.
And if you're looking for me, Brian Garside, you'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Manage Comics, where you'll discover everything you need to know about my not point of sale system. Manage Comics.
This is three buddies with competing software that love each other too much to quit and do what's right for them. We'll see you all next week, and as always, keep watching the skies.
Guys, we really beefed our opportunity to introduce ourselves as location, location, and location.
That's...
Oh my God, that's so good.
The Data Bros is a joint project from the teams behind Comic Shop Assistant and Manage Comics. Data Bros are Django Boren, Jeff Figley, and Brian Garside. Brian Garside produces and edits the episode. And you'll find more about the Data Bros online at databrosinc.com. Subscribe, like, and review the Data Bros on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.